Wine of Wyoming. It was a hot afternoon in Wyoming. The mountains were a long way away, and you could see snow on their tops. But they made no shadow, and in the valley the grain fields were yellow. The road was dusty with cars passing, and all the small wooden houses at the edge of town were baking in the sun. There was a tree-made shade over Fontaine's back porch, and I sat there at a table, and Madame Fontaine brought up cold beer from the cellar. A motor car turned off the main road and came up the side road and stopped beside the house. Two men got out and came in through the gate. I put the bottles under the table. Madame Fontaine stood up.
"Where's Sam?"
one of the men asked at the screen door.
"He ain't here. He's at the mines."
"You got some beer?"
"No, ain't got any beer. That's the last bottle, all gone."
"What's he drinking?"
"That's the last bottle, all gone."
"Come on, give us some beer, you know me."
"Ain't got any beer, that's the last bottle all gone."
"Come on, let's go someplace where we can get some real beer,"
one of them said, and they went out to the car. One of them walked unsteadily. The motor car jerked in starting, whirled on the road, and went on and away.
"Put the beer on the table," Madame Fontaine said. "What's the matter, yes? All right? What's the matter? Don't drink off the floor."
"I didn't know who they were," I said.
"They're drunk," she said. "That's what makes the trouble. Then they go somewhere else and they say they got it here. Maybe they don't even remember."
She spoke French, but it was only French occasionally, and there were many English words and some English constructions. "Where's Fontaine?"
"Il fait de la vendange." "Oh my God, il est crazy pour le vin."
"But you like the beer."
"Oui, j'aime la bière, mais Fontaine, il est crazy pour le vin."
She was a plump old woman with a lovely ruddy complexion and white hair. She was very clean, and the house was very clean and neat. She came from Lens.
"Where did you eat?"
"At the hotel."
"Manger ici? Il ne faut pas manger à l'hôtel ou au restaurant. Manger ici."
"I don't want to make you trouble. And besides, they eat all right at the hotel."
"I never eat at the hotel." "Maybe they eat all right there. Only once in my life I ate at a restaurant in America. You know what they gave me? They gave me pork that was raw."
"Really?"
"I don't lie to you. It was pork that wasn't cooked. Et mon fils, il est marié avec une Américaine. Et tout le temps, il a mangé les beans in can."
"How long has he been married?"
"Oh, my God, I don't know. His wife weighs 225 pounds. She don't work, she don't cook. She gives him beans in can."
"What does she do?"
"All the time she reads. Rien que des books. Tout le temps, elle stay in bed and read books. Already she can't have another baby. She's too fat. There ain't any room."
"What's the matter with her?"
"She reads books all the time. He's a good boy. He works hard. He works in the mines. Now he works on a ranch. He never worked on a ranch before, and the man that owns the ranch said to Fontaine that he never saw anybody work better on that ranch than that boy. Then he comes home and she feeds him nothing."
"Why doesn't he get a divorce?"
"He ain't got no money to get a divorce. Besides, il est crazy pour elle."
"Is she beautiful?"
"He thinks so. When he brought her home, I thought I would die. He's such a good boy and works hard all the time and never run around or make any trouble. Then he goes away to work in the oil fields and brings home this Indien that weighs right then 185 pounds.
"Elle est Indien?"
"Well, she's Indian all right." "My God, yes. All the time she says, 'Son of a bitch, goddamn.' She don't work."
"Where is she now?"
"Osho."
"Where's that?"
"Osho, moving pictures. All she does is read and go to the show."
"Have you got any more beer?"
"My God, yes, sure. You come and eat with us tonight."
"All right. What should I bring?"
"Don't bring anything, nothing at all. Maybe Fontaine will have some of the wine."
That night I had dinner at Fontaine's. We ate in the dining room, and there was a clean tablecloth. We tried the new wine. It was very light and clear and good, and still tasted of the grapes. At the table, there were Fontaine and Madame, and the little boy, André.
"What did you do today?" Fontaine asked.
He was an old man with small, mind-tired body, a drooping gray mustache, and bright eyes, and was from the center near Saint-Étienne. "I worked on my book."
"Were your books all right?" asked Madame.
"He means he writes a book like a writer. Un roman,"
Fontaine explained.
"Pa, can I go to the show?"
André asked.
"Sure," said Fontaine.
André turned to me.
"How old do you think I am? Do you think I look 14 years old?"
He was a thin little boy, but his face looked 16. "Yes, you look 14."
"When I go to the show, I crouch down like this and try to look small."
His voice was very high and breaking.
"If I give them a quarter, they keep it all. But if I give them only 15 cents, they let me in all right."
"I only give you 15 cents then," said Fontaine.
"No, give me the whole quarter. I'll get it changed on the way."
"Il faut revenir tout de suite après le show,"
Madame Fontaine said.
"I come right back."
André went out the door. The night was cooling outside. He left the door open, and a cool breeze came in.
"Mangez," said Madame Fontaine. "You haven't eaten anything."
I had eaten 2 helpings of chicken and French fried potatoes, 3 ears of sweet corn, some sliced cucumbers, and 2 helpings of salad.
"Perhaps he wants some cake," Fontaine said.
"I should have gotten some cake for him," Madame Fontaine said. "Mangez du fromage, mangez du cream cheese. Vous n'avez rien mangé?" "I ought to have gotten cake. Americans always eat cake."
"Mais j'ai rudement bien mangé."
"Mangez, vous n'avez rien mangé." "Eat it all. We don't save anything. Eat it all up."
"Eat some more salad," Fontaine said.
"I'll get some more beer," Madame Fontaine said. "If you work all day in a book factory, you get hungry."
"Elle ne comprend pas que vous êtes écrivain," Fontaine said.
He was a delicate old man who used the slang and knew the popular songs of his period of military service in the end of the 1890s.
"He writes the books himself," he explained to Madame.
"You write the books yourself?" Madame asked. "Sometimes."
"Oh," she said, "oh, you write them yourself. Oh, well, you get hungry if you do that too. Mangez. Je vais chercher de la bière."
We heard her walking on the stairs to the cellar. Fontaine smiled at me. He was very tolerant of people who had not his experience and worldly knowledge. When André came home from the show, we were still sitting in the kitchen and were talking about hunting.
"Labor Day, we all went to Clear Creek," Madame said. "Oh, my God, you ought to have been there, all right. We all went in the truck. Tout le monde est allé dans le truck. Nous sommes partis le dimanche. C'est le truck de Charlie.
On a mangé, on a bu du vin, de la bière, et il y avait aussi un Français qui a apporté de l'absinthe," Pontin said. "Un Français de la Californie."
"My God, nous avons chanté."
"There's a farmer comes to see what's the matter, and we give him something to drink, and he stayed with us a while. There were some Italians come too, and they want to stay with us too. We sang a song about the Italians, and they don't understand it. They didn't know we didn't want them, but we didn't have nothing to do with them, and after a while they went away."
"How many fish did you catch?"
"Très peu. We went to fish a little while, but then we come back to sing again. Nous avons chanté, vous savez."
"In the night," said Madame,
"toutes les femmes dort dans le truck. Les hommes à côté du feu.
In the night I hear Fontaine come to get some more wine, and I tell him, 'Fontaine, my God, leave some for tomorrow. Tomorrow they won't have anything to drink and they'll be sorry.'"
"Mais nous avons tout bu," Fontaine said. "Et le lendemain, il ne reste rien."
"What did you do?"
"Nous avons pêché sérieusement."
"Good trout, all right, too. My God, yes. All the same, 1/2 pound, 1 ounce.
"How big?"
1/2 pound, 1 ounce. Just right to eat. All the same size. 1/2 pound, 1 ounce.
How do you like America? Fontaine asked me.
It's my country, you see. So I like it because it's my country. Mais on ne mange très bien. Dans le temps, oui. Mais maintenant, non. No, said Madame, on ne mange pas bien. She shook her head. Et aussi, il y a trop de Polak. Quand j'étais petit, ma mère m'a dit, vous mangez comme les Polaks. Je n'ai jamais compris ce que c'est qu'une Polak. Mais maintenant, en Amérique, je comprends. Il y a trop de Polak.
Eh, my God, ils sont sales, des Polaks.
It is fine for hunting and fishing, I said.
Oui, ça c'est le milieu. La chasse et la pêche, Fontaine said. Qu'est-ce que vous avez comme fusil?
A 12-gauge pump.
Il est bon, le pump, Fontaine nodded his head.
Je vais aller à la chasse moi-même,
André said in his high little boy's voice.
Je ne peux pas, Fontaine said.
He turned to me.
Ils sont des sauvages, les boys, vous avez. Ils sont des sauvages.
Ils voulant shooter les uns les autres.
Je veux aller tout seul,
André said, very shrill and excited.
You can't go,
Madame Fontaine said.
You are too young. Je veux aller tout seul,
André said shrilly.
Je veux shooter les rats d'eau.
What are rats d'eau? I asked.
You don't know them? Sure you know them. What they call the muskrats.
André had brought the 22 caliber rifle out from the cupboard and was holding it in his hands under the light.
Ils sont des sauvages, Fontaine explained. Ils veulent shooter les uns les autres.
Je veux aller tout seul,
André shrilled. He looked desperately along the barrel of the gun.
Je veux shooter les rats d'eau. Je connais beaucoup de rats d'eau.
Give me the gun,
Fontaine said. He explained again to me.
They're savages. They would shoot one another.
André held on to the gun.
On peut looker. On ne fait pas du mal. On peut looker.
Il est crazy pour le shooting, Madame Fontaine said.
Mais elle est trop jeune. André put the 22 caliber rifle back in the cupboard.
When I'm bigger, I'll shoot the muskrats and the jackrabbits too, he said in English.
One time, I went out with Papa and he shot a jackrabbit just a little bit and I shot it and hit it.
C'est vrai, Fontaine nodded. Il a tué un jack.
But he hit it first, André said. I want to go all by myself and shoot all by myself. Next year I can do it.
He went over in a corner and sat down to read a book. I had picked it up when we came into the kitchen to sit after supper. It was a library book, Frank on a Gunboat.
Il aime les books, Madame Fontaine said. But it's better than to run around at night with the other boys and steal things.
Books are all right, Fontaine said. Monsieur, il fait les books.
Yes, that's so all right. But too many books are bad, Madame Fontaine said.
Ici, c'est une maladie, les books. C'est comme les churches. Ici, il y a trop de churches. In France, il y a seulement les catholiques et les protestants. Et très peu de protestants. Mais ici, rien que de churches. Quand j'étais venu ici, je disais, oh my God, what are all the churches?
C'est vrai, Fontaine said. Il y a trop de churches.
The other day, Madame Fontaine said, there was a little French girl here with her mother, the cousin of Fontaine, and she said to me,
en Amérique, il ne faut pas être catholique. It's not good to be Catholic. The Americans don't like you to be Catholic. It's like the dry law. I said to her, what are you going to be, huh? It's better to be Catholic if you're Catholic. But she said, no, it isn't any good to be Catholic in America. But I think it's better to be Catholic if you are.
Ce n'est pas bon de changer sa religion. My God, no. You go to Mass here?
No, I don't go in America, only sometimes in a long while. mais je reste catholique. It's no good to change the religion.
On dit que Schmidt est catholique, Fontaine said.
On dit, mais on ne sait jamais, Madame Fontaine said. I don't think Schmidt is catholique. There are not many Catholics in America.
We are catholic, I said.
Sure, but you live in France, Madame Fontaine said. Je ne crois pas que Schmidt est catholique. Did he ever live in France?
Les Polacks sont catholiques, Fontaine said.
That's true, Madame Fontaine said. They go to church, then they fight with knives all the way home and kill each other all day Sunday. But they're not real Catholics. They're Polack Catholics.
All Catholics are the same, Fontaine said.
One Catholic is like another.
I don't believe Schmidt is Catholic, Madame Fontaine said.
That's awfully funny if he's Catholic.
Moi, je ne crois pas.
Il est Catholic, I said.
Schmidt is Catholic, Madame Fontaine mused. I wouldn't have believed it. My God, il est Catholic.
Marie, va chercher de la bière, Fontaine said.
Monsieur a soif. Moi aussi.
Yes, all right,
Madame Fontaine said from the next room. She went downstairs and we heard the stairs creaking. André sat reading in the corner. Fontaine and I sat at the table and he poured the beer from the last bottle into our two glasses, leaving a little in the bottom.
C'est un bon pays pour la chasse,
Fontaine said.
J'aime beaucoup shooter le canard.
Mais il a très bon chasse aussi en France, I said.
C'est vrai, Fontaine said. Nous avons beaucoup de gibier là-bas.
Madame Fontaine came up the stairs with the beer bottles in her hands.
Il est catholique, she said. My God, Schmidt est catholique.
You think he'll be president? Fontaine asked.
No, I said. The next afternoon, I drove out to Fontaine's, through the shade of the town, then along the dusty road, turning up the side road and leaving the car beside the fence. It was another hot day. Madame Fontaine came to the back door. She looked like Mrs. Santa Claus, clean and rosy-faced and white-haired and waddling when she walked.
My God, hello, she said. It's hot, my God.
She went back into the house to get some beer. I sat on the back porch and looked through the screen and the leaves of the tree at the heat and away off the mountains. There were furrowed brown mountains, and above them three peaks and a glacier with snow that you could see through the trees. The snow looked very white and pure and unreal. Madame Fontaine came out and put down the bottles on the table.
What do you see out there?
The snow.
C'est joli, la neige.
Have a glass, too.
All right.
She sat down on a chair beside me.
Schmidt, she said. If he's the president, you think we get the wine and beer all right?
Sure, I said. Trust Schmidt.
Already we paid $755 in fines when they arrested Fontaine. Twice the police arrested us, and once the government's. All the money we made all the time Fontaine works in the mines and I did washing, we paid it all.
They put Fontaine in jail.
Il n'a jamais fait de mal à personne.
He's a good man, I said. It's a crime.
We don't charge too much money. The wine, $1 a liter. The beer, 10 cents a bottle.
We never sell the beer before it's good.
Lots of places they sell the beer right away when they make it, and then it gives everybody a headache.
What's the matter with that? They put Fontaine in jail and they take $755. It's wicked, I said. Where is Fontaine?
He stays with the wine. He has to watch it now to catch it just right, she smiled.
She did not think about the money anymore.
Vous savez, il est crazy pour le vin. Last night he brought a little bit home with him, what you drank and a little bit of the new. The last new. It ain't ready yet, but he drank a little bit and this morning he put a little bit in his coffee. Dans son café, vous savez. Il est crazy pour le vin. Il est comme ça. Son pays est comme ça. Where I live in the north, they don't drink any wine. Everybody drinks beer. By where we lived, there was a big brewery right near us.
When I was a little girl, I didn't like the smell of the hops in the carts, nor in the fields.
Je n'aime pas les houblons.
No, my God, not a bit. The man that owns the brewery said to me and my sister to go to the brewery and drink the beer, and then we'd like the hops. That's true. Then we like them all right.
He had them give us the beer.
We like them all right then.
But Fontaine, il est crazy pour la vin.
One time he killed a jackrabbit and he wanted me to cook it with a sauce with wine, make a black sauce with wine and butter and mushrooms and onion and everything in it for the jack. My God, I make the sauce all right, and he eat it all and said,
la sauce est meilleure que le jack. Dans son pays, c'est comme ça. Il y a beaucoup de gibier et de vin. Moi, j'aime la pomme de terre, la saucisson et la bière.
C'est bon, la bière.
C'est très bon pour la santé.
It's good, I said. It and wine, too.
You're like Fontaine. But there was a thing here that I never saw. I don't think you've ever seen it either. There were Americans come here and they put whiskey in the beer.
No, I said. Oui, my God, yes, it's true.
Et aussi une femme qui l'a vomi sur la table.
Comment?
C'est vrai. Elle a vomi sur la table. Et après, elle a vomi dans ses shoes.
And afterwards, they come back and say they want to come again and have another party the next Saturday. And I say, no, my God, no. When they came, I lock the door.
They're bad when they're drunk.
In the wintertime, when the boys go to the dance, they come in the cars and wait outside and say to Fontaine, hey, Sam, sell us a bottle of wine. Or they buy the beer and then they take the moonshine out of their pockets in a bottle and pour it in the beer and drink it. My God, it's the first time I ever saw that in my life. They put whiskey in the beer. My God, I don't understand that.
They want to get sick so they'll know they're drunk. One time a fellow comes here, came to me and said he wanted me to cook them a big supper and they drink one, two bottles of wine. And their girls come too.
And then they go to the dance.
All right, I said. So I made a big supper and when they come already they drink a lot.
Then they put whiskey in the wine. My God, yes. I said to Fontaine, on va être malade.
Oui, elle dit.
Then these girls were sick.
Ooh, nice girls, too. All right, girls. They were sick right at the table. Fontaine tried to take them by the arm and show them where they could be sick all right in the cabinet. But the fellow said no, they were all right there at the table.
Fontaine had come in.
When they come again, I lock the door. No, I said, not for $150. My God, no. There is a word for such people when they do like that in French, Fontaine said.
He stood looking very old and tired from the heat.
What?
Couchant,
he said delicately, hesitating to use such a strong word.
They were like the couchant. C'est un mot très fort, he apologized. Mais vomir sur la table.
He shook his head sadly.
Couchant, I said. That's what they are, couchant. Salaud.
The grossness of the words were distasteful to Fontaine. He was glad to speak of something else.
Il y a des gens très gentils, très sensibles, qui viennent aussi, he said. There are officers from the fort, very nice men, good fellows. Everybody that was ever in France, they want to come and drink wine. They like wine, all right.
There was one man, Madame Fontaine said, and his wife never lets him get out. So he tells her he's tired and goes to bed, and when she goes to the show, he comes straight down here, sometimes in his pajamas, just with a coat over them.
Maria, some beer, he says, for God's sake.
He sits in his pajamas and drinks the beer, and then he goes up to the fort and gets back in bed before his wife comes home from the show.
C'est un original, Fontaine said. Mais vraiment gentil. He's a nice fella.
My God, yes, a nice fella, all right, Madame Fontaine said.
He's always in bed when his wife gets back from the show.
I have to go away tomorrow, I said, to the Crow Reservation. We go there for the opening of the prairie chicken season.
Yes?
You come back here before you go away. You come back here, all right?
Absolutely.
Then the wine will be done, Fontaine said. We'll drink a bottle together. 3 bottles, Madame Fontaine said.
I'll be back, I said.
We count on you, Fontaine said.
Good night, I said.
We got in early in the afternoon from the shooting trip. We had been up that morning since 5 o'clock. The day before, we had had good shooting, but that morning we had not seen a prairie chicken. Riding in the open car, we were very hot, and we stopped to eat our lunch out of the sun under a tree beside the road. The sun was high, and the patch of shade was very small. We ate sandwiches and crackers with sandwich filling on them, and were thirsty and tired and glad when we finally were out and on the main road back to town. We came up behind a prairie dog town and stopped the car to shoot at the prairie dogs with the pistol. We shot 2, but then stopped, because the bullets that missed glanced off the rocks and the dirt and sung off across the fields, and beyond the fields there were some trees along a watercourse with a house, and we did not want to get in trouble from stray bullets going toward the house. So we drove on, and finally were on the road coming downhill toward the outlying houses of the town. Across the plain we could see the mountains. They were blue that day, and the snow on the high mountains shone like glass. The summer was ending, but the new snow had not yet come to stay on the high mountains. There was only the old sun-melted snow and the ice, and from a long way away it shone very brightly. We wanted something cool and some shade. We were sunburned and our lips blistered from the sun and alkali dust. We turned up the side road to Fontaine's, stopped the car outside the house, and went in. It was cool inside the dining room. Madame Fontaine was alone.
"Only 2 bottles beer," she said. "It's all gone. The new is no good yet."
I gave her some birds.
"That's good," she said. "All right, thanks, that's good."
She went out to put the birds away where it was cooler. When we finished the beer, I stood up. "We have to go," I said.
"You come back tonight, all right? Fontaine, he's going to have the wine."
"We'll come back before we go away."
"You go away?"
"Yes, we have to leave in the morning."
"That's too bad you go away." "You come tonight. Fontaine will have the wine. We'll make a fete before you go."
"We'll come before we go."
But that afternoon, there were telegrams to send. The car had been gone over. A tire had been cut by a stone and needed vulcanizing. And without the car, I walked into the town, doing things that had to be done before we could go. When it was supper time, I was too tired to go out. We did not want a foreign language. All we wanted was to go early to bed. As I lay in bed before I went to sleep, with all the things of the summer piled around ready to be packed, the windows open and the air coming in cool from the mountains, I thought it was a shame not to have gone to Fontaine's. But in a little while I was asleep. The next day we were busy all morning packing and ending the summer. We had lunch and were ready to start by 2 o'clock. "We must go and say goodbye to the Fontaine's," I said.
"Yes, we must."
"I'm afraid they expected us last night."
"I suppose we could have gone."
"I wish we'd gone." We said goodbye to the man at the desk at the hotel and to Larry and our other friends in the town, and then drove out to Fontaine's. Both Monsieur and Madame were there. They were glad to see us. Fontaine looked old and tired.
"We thought you would come last night," Madame Fontaine said. "Fontaine had 3 bottles of wine. When you did not come, he drank it all up."
"We can only stay a minute," I said. "We just came to say goodbye. We wanted to come last night. We intended to come, but we were too tired after the trip."
"Go get some wine," Fontaine said.
"There is no wine. You drank it all up."
Fontaine looked very upset.
"I'll go get some," he said. "I'll just be gone a few minutes. I drank it up last night. We had it for you."
"I knew you were tired. My God," I said. "They're too tired all right to come,"
Madame Fontaine said.
"Go get some wine, Fontaine."
"I'll take you in the car," I said.
"All right," Fontaine said. "That way we'll go faster."
We drove down the road in the motor car and turned up a side road about a mile away.
You'll like that wine, Fantin said. It's come out well. You can drink it for supper tonight.
We stopped in front of a frame house. Fantin knocked on the door. There was no answer. We went around to the back. The back door was locked, too. There were empty tin cans around the back door. We looked in the window, and there was nobody inside. The kitchen was dirty and sloppy, but all the doors and windows were tight shut.
That son of a bitch. Where is she gone out? Fantin said. He was desperate. I know where I can get a key, he said. You stay here.
I watched him go down to the next house down the road, knock on the door, talk to the woman who came out, and finally come back. He had a key. We tried it on the front door and the back, but it wouldn't work.
That son of a bitch, Fantin said. She's gone away somewhere.
Looking through the window, I could see where the wine was stored. Close to the window, you could smell the inside of the house. It smelled sweet and sickish, like an Indian house. Suddenly, Fantin took a loose board and commenced digging at the earth beside the back door.
I can get in, he said. Son of a bitch, I can get in.
There was a man in the backyard of the next house doing something to one of the front wheels of an old Ford. You better not, I said. That man will see you. He's watching. Fantin straightened up.
We'll try the key once more, he said.
We tried the key, and it did not work. It turned halfway in either direction. We can't get in, I said. We better go back.
I'll dig up the back, Fantin offered.
No, I wouldn't let you take the chance.
I'll do it.
No, I said. That man would see. Then they would seize it. We went out to the car and drove back to Fantin, stopping on the way to leave the key. Fantin did not say anything but swear in English. He was incoherent and crushed. We went in the house.
That son of a bitch, he said. We couldn't get the wine. My own wine that I made.
All the happiness went from Madame Fontaine's face. Fontaine sat down in a corner with his head in his hands. We must go, I said. It doesn't make any difference about the wine. You drink to us when we're gone.
Where did that crazy go? Madame Fontaine asked. I don't know, Fontaine said. I don't know where she go. Now you go away without any wine.
That's all right, I said.
That's no good, Madame Fontin said.
She shook her head. We have to go, I said. Goodbye and good luck. Thank you for the fine times. Fontin shook his head. He was disgraced. Madame Fontin looked sad. Don't feel bad about the wine, I said.
He wanted you to drink his wine,
Madame Fontin said.
You can come back next year?
No, maybe the year after.
You see, Fantin said to her.
Goodbye, I said. Don't think about the wine. Drink some for us when we're gone. Fantin shook his head. He did not smile. He knew when he was ruined.
That son of a bitch, Fantin said to himself.
Last night he had 3 bottles, Madame Fantin said to comfort him.
He shook his head.
Goodbye, he said.
Madame Fontaine had tears in her eyes.
Goodbye,
she said. She felt badly for Fontaine. Goodbye, we said. We all felt very badly. They stood in the doorway, and we got in, and I started the motor. We waved. They stood together sadly on the porch. Fontaine looked very old, and Madame Fontaine looked sad. She waved to us, and Fontaine went in the house. We turned up the road. They felt so badly. Fantin felt terribly.
We ought to have gone last night.
Yes, we ought to have. We were through the town and out on the smooth road beyond, with the stubble of grain fields on each side and the mountains off to the right. It looked like Spain, but it was Wyoming.
I hope they have a lot of good luck.
They won't, I said. And Schmidt won't be president either.
The cement road stopped. The road was graveled now, and we left the plain and started up between 2 foothills, the road in the curve and commencing to climb. The soil of the hills was red, the sage grew in gray clumps, and as the road rose, we could see across the hills and away across the plain of the valley to the mountains. They were farther away now, and they looked more like Spain than ever. The road curved and climbed again,
and ahead there were some grouse dusting in the road. They flew as we came toward them, their wings beating fast, then sailing in long slants and lit on the hillside below. "They are so big and lovely. They're bigger than European partridges."
"It's a fine country for the chasse," Fontaine says.
"And when the chasse is gone?"
"They'll be dead then."
"The boy won't?"
"There's nothing to prove he won't be," I said.
"We ought to have gone last night."
"Oh, yes," I said. "We ought to have gone."
This ends Disc 3.